Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Matt Holmes back with you on a Thursday morning, looking ahead to the Final Four, and certainly the team that had the most unconventional road. That's the Kentucky Wildcats, the 8 seed heading in to take on the 2 seed Wisconsin. We're joined now on the WadeFord.com hotline by James Strebel, who writes for aseaofblue.com. James, we appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt.
All right, so talk to me about this Kentucky team. From the Kentucky fan standpoint, it sure has been a roller coaster season.
You know, that it has. We had the preseason hype of the number one team in America, number one recruiting class, some argued as the best recruiting class of all time. We had talks by the fans and some other websites and pundits about how this team could go 40-0. That didn't quite hash out the way we all thought. You know, they lost early to a Michigan State team that made it to the Elite Eight. They lost early to a North Carolina team that kind of fizzled out a little earlier than some might have thought. And then when they got in the SEC, they weren't overly dominant like we all thought they would be. I mean, we had losses to Arkansas on the road and at home. And then the, you know, I guess the rock bottom of the season was the loss to South Carolina, who was just a not a very good basketball team. After that, some people were writing us off saying, yeah, we'll make the tournament, but maybe a first round or second round exit for these guys. And, you know, we didn't live up to the hype. Now, all of a sudden, we're in the Final Four, having defeated three teams that made the Final Four last season in Wichita State, Louisville, and Michigan. And those last two were actually the national champions and the national champion runner-up. So it's been as exciting of a tournament run as I can remember as a Kentucky fan.
All right, so what was that turning point? Did it happen after that South Carolina loss?
Well, after the South Carolina loss, the players, you know, after the game, they had their press conference, which John Calipari did not attend because he actually got booted from the South Carolina game. But Aaron Harrison, who has been just knocking down clutch shot after clutch shot, said after that game, this isn't over. We're going to write our own story at the end, and it's going to be a great finish. And people kind of shrugged that off, and you know, he's turned out to be kind of a prophet. He's proven everybody wrong. And it's really hard to point to one thing. Cal keeps referring to these mysterious tweaks. In my opinion, from what I've seen, the tweaks are that he's kind of taken a step back because during the season he was a little over-controlling with these players and very demonstrative on the sidelines as well. He yelling and kind of mocking them. He's kind of stepped back. I think he's let Andrew Harrison, the point guard, kind of control the team and take it at his pace. The players just seem like they're playing with a lot more freedom. And it looks like they're having a lot more fun out there, too. For a while there, it looked like they weren't having any fun at all and that playing a game was more stressful than anything.
Our guest is James Strebel, the website aseaofblue.com, where he covers Kentucky basketball. So, James, talk to me. What's the difference between last year's team and this year's team? Because, quite frankly, it could have gone the same direction. The fact that Kentucky gets in with an 8 seed to this year's tournament, it's not much more impressive than being a number one seed in the NIT last year. What's the difference? Last year, a first-round exit. This year, they're in the Final Four of the Big Dance.
You know, you're absolutely right. I think the big difference is leadership. Last year's team really didn't have a leader after Nerlens Noel went down with that season-ending ACL injury against Florida about midway through the SEC season. Once he went down, that was pretty much a wrap. They did have a couple of impressive wins. They did beat Missouri at home, and then they beat Florida at home the last regular season game. But other than that, the team was in disarray. They didn't have anybody to really kind of step forward and right the ship. It was too many young guys. You know, the oldest guy on the team was Julius Mays, and he was a transfer. And, you know, not really a guy that's been around for a long time. So I think, in large part, leadership. And then, you know, not to harp on Ryan Harrell too much, but he just wasn't the right type of point guard for John Calipari. To be a point guard for John Calipari, you've got to have thick skin. You've got to be vocal. And you've got to handle pressure well, and he just didn't do that. He's doing very well at Georgia State this past year, and I wish him well, but he just was not a right fit. So I think with the lack of leadership and the loss of Nerlens Noel, who was the best overall player, and the lack of a really headstrong point guard were the three factors that really took that team down last season.
All right, so I've watched probably a dozen Kentucky basketball games this year, some during the bad stretch, some during the good stretch. Throughout all of it, there have been times where Julius Randle just flat out, there are times where he looks like he is the guy who is willing that team. He's the guy who wants to win more than anybody else on that team. Is that fair or unfair?
No, I think it's absolutely fair. I think there are times in the season and especially in the tournament where he's just kind of been a man, and he's put the team on his back. And I mean, hell, the guy averages a double-double. The way he rebounds the ball, it's aggressive and it's fierce. He's not afraid of anyone. He's not afraid to take the ball to anyone. And sometimes that can be a detriment because he gets a lot of fouls called on him, and he gets a lot of fouls called against him on the opposite end because he charges. Because he puts his head down, he pulls people over. That has its good parts and its bad parts. But I think that Julius Randle is definitely the motor of this team. Now, there's a couple guys that come off the bench, too, that have provided motor. One of those guys is Alex Poitras, who last year was a big disappointment for a lot of Kentucky fans. Even though he averaged about 13, 14 points a season, they're a little disappointed in the way he played. But he comes off the bench, and he brings another dimension as far as energy is concerned. He gets all the hustle plays, hustle rebounds, hustle blocks, dives on the floor to get the basketball, things like that. So while Julius Randle does seem to be the leader, there's guys like Alex Poitras who come off the bench and provide a spark that the team needs, because they'll go through a bit of a dry spell. That's just kind of who they are. They'll go through a dry spell for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then boom, it turns back on. Usually it's with a play down low to Randle, or maybe a three by either Young or Aaron Harrison.
All right, our guest is James Strebel. He covers Kentucky basketball for aseaofblue.com. Before we get to the Final Four and the matchup with Wisconsin, you mentioned Alex Poitras, one of the guys, one of the highly touted recruits who didn't go pro after a year. What about this current crop of freshmen? Who do you think is going to go? Do you think any of them stay?
Current crop of freshmen, I think Julius Randle's gone. He's rejected in everybody's top five. I think, you know, depending on what Jabari Parker does, he could be top three, because, you know, the rumor now is that Parker may stay another year at Duke. I think the two spots are locked up at the top with Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid. But I think Randle could sneak into that top three, but either way, I think he's gone. Another guy that I think might be gone is James Young. I think he should stay and refine his game a little bit. I think he's a little too out of control at times and should be able to handle the ball a little better, and his passing is not as crisp as it should be. But he's a top 15 pick. As far as the Harrison twins are concerned, what I read today is they're late first round. I think it's a case where if they go, they both go. It won't be like Andrew Harrison goes and Aaron Harrison stays. They'll either both stay or they'll both go. Right now, it's hard to tell. They're having a great tournament. Before this tournament run, I would say they definitely would have come back. But right now, I think that's more up in the air. I think Dakari Johnson comes back. He's got a lot more to improve on, even though he's grown leaps and bounds offensively. He still needs to work on his footwork and his speed and his vertical. Marcus Lee, who was the surprise of the Elite Eight, I think he'll be back next year. He needs to add some weight and strength. But as we all saw against Michigan, he's got a great, great ability to fly around the rim, get rebounds, and block shots. So I think out of all those guys, I think the two that I'm definitely for sure that will come back are Dakari Johnson, Marcus Lee. Harrison twins are up in the air. Randle and Young are gone.
All right, so you're going to have some attrition, and obviously Coach Cal expects that. Last night, the McDonald's All-America game in Chicago, and the future of Kentucky basketball on display.
Yeah, and I tell you what, the future's bright. I tell you what, you know, they've got four guys who are playing in that game. You had Tyler Ulis as their point guard. You have Trey Lyles as a power forward. Devin Booker, shooting guard, and Carl Towns, junior, who's a center. Out of all four of those guys, the one that I'm excited the most about is the one that's a four-star, not a five-star, and that's Tyler Ulis, who's a point guard, 5'9", just lightning quick, got great handles on the ball, looks to pass first, fearless on defense. He was knocking down some threes, you know, steals the ball. He's just very exciting. He's a little energy spark plug. He's pretty amazing. So if some of these guys go, we're going to be okay. Trey Lyles provides that beef down low, kind of like a Julius Randle, but he's not as aggressive. He's a little more refined, has a little more skill. Carl Towns is a big, big kid. He's got to get some more weight on him. He's very good defensively around the rim. I didn't really like what he did offensively. And then Devin Booker is a guy that just shoots lights out from three, which, you know, as you can see, that's really helpful during the tournament.
All right, so Coach Cal, he's made the decision to go with this one-and-done model. I want to know from you, as a longtime Kentucky fan, and obviously you talk with a lot of Kentucky fans there, in the Bluegrass State. You got these teams of the 90s, the Patino team, Tubby took one, that win national championships. You go back and look at the roster. You got a lot of 2-, 3-, 4-year guys. You got a lot of guys from the state of Kentucky, Tennessee, surrounding states, local guys. And the fan base really fell in love with those teams. The 2012 national championship, should this team win a championship in 2014, is it the same level of satisfaction? Do they have the same place in the hearts of Kentucky fans?
Well, honestly, I think so. And the reason being is because the talent is so special. You know, you get a kid like Anthony Davis, whose talent is transcendent. He's a once-in-a-lifetime type player. And we can proudly say that he plays for the University of Kentucky. Now, you know, it's very debatable whether what's going on in college basketball is the right thing or the wrong thing. But the facts are is that it's the rule. John Calipari plays within the rules. And this year's team, I think, is very satisfying because you had so many people write it off. And this team was left dead in the water. People were jumping on John Calipari saying that he's lost it. He can't coach these kids anymore, saying that the one-and-done model is, you know, not the way to go. And all of a sudden, here we are in the Final Four. So as a fan that cheers for this style of basketball and cheers for a coach that honestly pushes this model and it's the way to go, it's very satisfying because we can look and say, you know, you guys are wrong. These kids, while they may be one and done, they're not just passing through. They care about the school, they care about each other, and they care about the team. If you can look at the faces of those kids after they beat Michigan, they were exuberant. They were joyous. It wasn't like they were, oh, okay, we won another game. You know, gosh, this maybe two more games I have to play before I can declare for the draft. You know, it's not the way the program is. And honestly, I still get the same amount of satisfaction as I did with guys like, you know, Antoine Walker, say, for a couple of years. And, Richie Farmer, you know. He's in some legal trouble now.
His post-basketball career was not ideal.
No, he's not endeared himself to the hearts of the fans like we all thought he would. But, you know, guys like that, yeah, they're special. But, again, this too is satisfying because these kids are really showing that they do care and they want to be at Kentucky.
All right, finishing up with James Strebel. He covers Kentucky basketball for aseaofblue.com. James, let's get to the business at hand. Final Four, Saturday night. You got the 8-seed Kentucky, the 2-seed Wisconsin. How does that one shape up?
Well, honestly, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Wisconsin runs a very efficient offense. They can score in the 70s and 80s in regularity. But the problem is I don't think they can defend Kentucky very well. And I think the same thing can be said about Kentucky. I think that they're going to be able to score on Wisconsin, but Wisconsin's going to be able to score on them. I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw with Michigan, to be honest with you. They've got some great shooters, and they have a big man in Frank Kaminsky that is just really, really tough. I mean, if there's a breakout player in the Final Four, it's got to be Frank Kaminsky. Going from a player last year that averaged about 4 points, and then this year he's averaging 14 points a game, and he had 28 against Arizona. He's got a pretty decent front court. So we're going to have our work cut out for him. This is a game that I think we're really going to miss Willie Cauley-Stein because he's been the perfect guy to guard Kaminsky. Kaminsky can step out and shoot from the perimeter, and he also banged down low. Willie Cauley-Stein can guard pretty much any part of the floor. Dakari Johnson is not going to be able to step out and guard Kaminsky. If he goes out and takes him and shoots him from long range, I don't think Marcus Lee has the beef to hang with Kaminsky down low. So he's going to pose a big problem for Kentucky. Other than that, I'm not really nervous about any of the other players. I think athletically and strength-wise, we pretty much dominate every other position on the floor, and I think our height is going to be a really big problem for Wisconsin because in the Big Ten, they haven't seen the length and athleticism that Kentucky's about to bring to the table. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a fun game to watch. And I see Kentucky with a 78-74 victory. That's my official score for the game. It's the first time that I've given it, so very lucky for you.
We'll take it to Vegas, and we'll roll with it. Time for a one-word answer, yes or no, James. Kentucky 0-3 against Florida this year. 10-point loss at Rupp in Gainesville to kind of let it get away, but a 1-point loss in the SEC championship game. Yes or no, if they both advance, can Kentucky pull it off?
Yes.
All right, his name's James Strebel. Find his work on the website, aseaofblue.com. James, we appreciate you being with us.
Hey, man, again, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we're coming right back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.